We've been getting into the habit of starting the talk with the Namo Tassa phrase, which is the homage to the Buddha. And so we're honoring the Buddha with this phrase. And it's a nice way to start since we're all here because of him. So if you know it, you can join. And if you don't know it, you can just listen. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Like I announced earlier, I'd like to talk about metta, which means loving kindness in English. And I felt kind of inspired to offer this talk because last Friday we discussed the Metta Sutta during one of the extended Friday sits. And it's really inspiring to be together with the group and everyone's input on this sutta discourse of the Buddha. And metta is one of the four, it's called Brahma Viharas, which means heavenly abodes. So these four qualities of heart and mind are abodes that are heavenly, so you say. So they're really pleasant beings, states of being. So the first one is metta, loving kindness. The second one is karuna, or compassion. The third one is mudita, or sympathetic joy. And the fourth one is upekkha, equanimity. So loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. Metta is basically kind of the basis for the other three. So it's always a good place to start. And it's a very warm and caring energy that we can extend to ourselves and also to others. And it's very wholesome. And in the suttas, it is often mentioned as an antidote to states of mind like anger, ill will, and aversion. And the Buddha really encourages us that if we are feeling anger or aversion or any type of emotion like that, that we can practice metta to counter that, as so to speak. And it doesn't always work. It's not always like a good idea to do that. But sometimes it is. Sometimes we can really use the metta practice to counter these energies. So it's kind of like a tool in our toolbox, one of the tools that we can use in our daily lives and in our meditation sits. And so loving kindness is a state of heart and mind. And I say heart and mind because the word in Pali, Pali is the language in which the oldest Buddhist scriptures were written down in. In Pali, the word citta means, something like heart and mind. It's like means both, while we have two words for heart and mind. And this is a state of mind and heart, and usually use mind to make it a little easier. But it is a state of mind that we can cultivate, we can practice it. That is not something that we have to be good at right off the bat. It's okay if it's not working or if it's messy or if we don't feel much. And this, the Metta Sutta, discourse on metta, that talks about being skilled in goodness. Like it's a skill, something we can learn and train and practice. And this quality or this practice is of training this quality is really about intention, and the intention to cultivate this kindness. And the intention will basically do the work in the background. So we don't really have to work hard to get into some sort of metta state. We basically can let it, this quality of mind, grow in the background. And our only job, between quotes, is to engage with it, to practice it. And then it will grow out of itself, kind of in the background. For example, there's this teacher, Sharon Salzberg. She's one of the Insight teachers here in the US. And she gives an example where she was on a retreat for several months, and she was doing only this practice, only this loving kindness practice that we did today in the meditation, just these phrases over and over again. And she didn't really feel anything happening. She didn't feel any metta flowing through her heart, nothing. And at some point she got a phone call from a family member that some sort of emergency was going on and she had to go home. So she was packing up her stuff, and all of a sudden she dropped this bottle onto the bathroom floor, and it shattered, this glass bottle, and it shattered all over the place. And normally she would be very, you know, condemning to herself, but the thought arose like, oh, it's okay, dear. And she was like, what did that came from? She realized that the practice had kind of worked in the background. And so the same for us. We don't know when this care and this loving kindness will arise. Even if we practice it, we might not feel it right away. And at some point, we might notice that we became a little kinder, maybe. And Sharon writes in her book on loving kindness, she writes, doing metta, we plant the seeds of love, knowing that nature will take its course, and in time those seeds will bear fruit. Some seeds will come to fruition quickly, some slowly, but our work is simply to plant the seeds. End quote. So when we plant the seeds, we are kind of planting them through our intention. Every wish of metta that we express towards ourselves or someone else is like one of those seeds. It's like an intention. And of course, this planting of the seeds will require some patience, because just like normal seeds that grow into a flower or a plant or a tree, it doesn't grow overnight. It's not like tomorrow we have like a full-grown tree or something. So it takes some time and nourishment. And just like seeds and plants need nutriments and water and sun, so does our metta practice also need practice, repetition, patience. Because sometimes when we practice, we don't feel anything right away. It might even feel really dry, really like we're in this desert or something. And what can also happen is that we feel the opposite of metta, the opposite of kindness come up, like anger or aversion or frustration or jealousy. And that's because our hearts will attract that what is not in line with metta yet. It's like a magnet of attracting all that is not in line with it yet. So in that way, it's a purification process. So when we practice this, we can see what's still in the way of kindness. And there's a quote by Pablo Neruda. Perhaps the earth can teach us, as when everything seems dead and later proves to be alive. So sometimes our metta can feel a little dead, maybe. And but we never know when our seed that we've planted, when it will grow. So how do we cultivate this practice? So we can just like use the phrases like we did today. And today we did it maybe a little non-standard with the receiving of the phrases from the benefactors, not like the standard way. The standard way would be to just offer phrases to beings. And standardly we would start with ourselves, and then we would offer phrases to a benefactor, then a friend, then a neutral person, then an enemy or a difficult person, and then all beings. So that would be how we would normally proceed through different categories of beings, more difficult with each category. And we didn't have time for that today, but just so you know what the normal way would be. So what we could do is we could practice this metta every day. For example, just a few minutes a day, sending metta, sending these phrases to beings that we encounter. Like it could be just on the street, just our neighbor, or maybe someone in a store, or even the squirrel that we see running across our yard. Just any being. We can also send it to ourselves. Just drop in a couple phrases to yourself. May I be happy? Or may I be healthy? So that's one way. And another way is that we can use it in our sitting practice. So if we have a regular practice, we could start our practice with a few minutes of loving kindness. Just using those phrases with beings that we feel inspired to send phrases to. You can even like dedicate the whole sit to this practice. Like some people, like Sharon Salzberg in that example, like they do a whole retreat just doing only this. That's also an option. And Bhante Gunaratana, he says, do not forget the Buddha's tool of metta. He calls it loving friendliness. The hardest hearts can be won with loving friendliness. It is said that nothing can harm a person who is pouring out loving friendliness. Even habitual wrongdoers sometimes reform their behavior when someone somewhere sends them strong, pure loving friendliness each day. And sometimes we might be able to feel it if someone sends us loving friendliness. Like when I'm on retreat and I walk into the teacher's room for the practice discussion, I can often feel they're radiating the metta. So you can sometimes really feel it. So the same way, if we offer the friendliness and the kindness, then others might be able to pick that up. Might feel that. And of course, not always will people feel that or pick it up, but there's some energy flowing. And the Buddha says, it's a famous quote, he says, whatever one frequently thinks and ponders upon, that becomes the inclination of the mind. So if we frequently think and ponder upon thoughts of friendliness, kindness, love, then that becomes the inclination of our mind. And it can be really powerful to start directing our minds in a wholesome direction, direction of, in this case, kindness, or one of the other Brahma Viharas of compassion or joy or equanimity. In that way, we can really change our minds and our lives, even though it takes a lot of patience and practice. And we can also even use this kindness in our own meditation practice. So we can use it towards our struggles and towards maybe harsh speech that we have for ourselves, the strictness that we have, sometimes judgments. We can extend kindness towards, and we could call maybe those parts of ourselves, like, oh, there you are, it's okay, may you be well. And there's this teacher, Greg Scharf, and he says, if he experiences some difficulty, he says, hello, little aversion, hello, little tightness, whatever it is, little struggle. It really brings a little bit of lightness and kindness to the struggle that we have. So whenever we struggle or we feel bored or angry or whatever it is, we feel a lot of desire, we can use this metta also. And then there's one other way in the suttas that we can practice metta is not with the phrases. So the phrases are actually from this commentary, the 5th century, from the monk Buddha Gosa. He came up with this practice of phrases. And the Buddha himself, he kind of seemed to have assumed that we all have this natural tendency, natural inclination to be able to radiate this metta out to all corners of the world. Because his instruction goes something like this. He says, he abides pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above, below, around, and everywhere, and to all as to himself, he abides pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness. Abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. End quote. So for this to work, we basically need this flow of metta in our hearts already. And if we do feel a flow of metta, we can use this. We can use this practice of radiating it out to all corners of the world, encompassing all beings everywhere. But if we don't have this flow, then we might need a little bit of like warm up with those phrases, with those wishes. So that's where they come in handy. But this radiating practice can be really wonderful. And also when we practice metta with the phrases and we start to feel the flow of it, we can switch to the radiating practice. So cultivating kindness is a gift to ourselves and to others. And I'll end with a quote by Sharon Salzberg again. Metta is the ability to embrace all parts of ourselves, as well as all parts of the world. Practicing metta illuminates our inner integrity because it relieves us of the need to deny different aspects of ourselves. We can open to everything with the healing force of love.